Has my mom texted you?
Yeah.
She has?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, okay. She did. The shirt came in yesterday, so
I will
get to that as soon as I can.
No, you're nice. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, of course. It's no problem, honestly. It's easy. Signing stuff is easy.
Yeah. That's so fun.
Yeah.
Do you ever get sick of it? Like, do you ever, like, I don't know, is it constant? Is it overwhelming sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it can be, but, like, I don't know. It's not gonna last forever. People aren't going to always ask for autographs for the rest of my life, you know? I'm not
That's
that
true.
Famous, so I guess I should enjoy it while I can. There were a few times, honestly, at BYU where I did feel, like, super overwhelmed.
BYU.
Yeah, I think it's mostly because, you know, it's just, like, that little bubble and, like... Yeah. Everyone, especially if you're an athlete there, like, it's crazy. Like, people love you, which is fun. But I just remember one time, like, with, like, all the media requests for, like, BYU TV and all that kind of stuff. And then also just, like, fan stuff. And then post-game, I remember one day I was just like, oh, my gosh, this is a lot. But I don't get that very often.
Was it mostly... like parents and little girls and stuff?
Yeah.
Not little, but younger girls.
Like young soccer players and stuff. And like sometimes like I feel like parents, I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but people that I have no connection with that I don't know will still, and because I'm like, we're a member of this church community, they kind of like expect you to do everything like they ask. Or like one time I got asked to come to a little girl's birthday party. And like I love to do those things if I can, but I also didn't know these people, or like I would get these random requests. And when I was in college, I wasn't good at like saying no, so I would like go do those things, or I would like try and just make everyone happy. And then I had to like finally realize how to like, this is how I make boundaries. And if I can do it, great. If I can't, then I just have to say no, and that's okay. So it's in a process. But
yeah, I can't imagine going through that. I've never, ever experienced that.
I mean, it's fun. It's fun to make other people happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
BYU is so unique, too, because, I mean, especially parents, like they want their kids to like emulate the athletic ability of so-and-so, but also your testimony needs to be like them too.
Yeah.
But what these parents don't realize is they're college kids.
Yeah.
And definitely. Yes, some of them are amazing human beings and disciples of Christ and trying their hardest, but some of them are college kids.
Yeah, and we're all flawed people, especially like, especially at that age.
Yeah.
But anyway,
have you seen? In fact, have you seen the new documentary on Netflix, "A Year with the Boston Red Sox"? It's this documentary, Netflix, they follow the Boston Red Sox over the course of the entire year. I think it was 2024, last year. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there was one scene, it was like the epitome of this. His name is Jaron Duran. He's an outfielder for the Red Sox. Awesome dude. He's battled with a lot of mental health and suicide, ideation, and a lot of stuff. And he's a huge advocate for mental health, and he's an awesome guy. And he's signing autographs. They have him and he's mic'd up, and like four parents are like, thank you so much for being the best role model to my son. And God, you're so, I just wanted to be just like you, and yada, yada. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The next day he's playing and he's up to bat, and he keeps swinging. He missed, keeps swinging. He's missed. So it's like 0-2, one more, right. Yeah. He's out. And this fan, this heckler in the back goes, get a tennis racket. You need a tennis racket. And so Duran like calls timeout, steps back, and calls him a homophobic slur with an MF-er in it.
Oh my God.
And of course he's like mic'd up, and so it goes public and it goes everywhere. So it's like, once again, like we need to find the balance between who we're idolizing and who we're not, because these people are human beings, even though they're really great athletes.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like,
It was funny.
I feel like my parents did a good job of that. I don't feel like I ever really like idolized anyone growing up. I feel like it was always like, oh, like more of like, oh, they're a really good athlete or let's watch their game. But when it came to like personal like values and morals, I was like, that's all on me. Like, or like my parents, like I wanted to like emulate them. Like
That's
those are
good
the true
perspective.
examples. But yeah, it's hard. And it's also hard too. I feel
You're in the
like,
spotlight.
yeah, and you have to have a certain like sense of responsibility for that, you know, like it's a burden, but it's also a blessing and an opportunity, so you have to like balance that. But it's also hard too because like I feel like as women we sometimes feel like we need to do more than men or what may be expected of from like men, or some people are more willing to ask women to do more than they are to ask men because they know that we're maybe like a little bit nicer or like we'll say yes even though we probably shouldn't because we just want to be nice. And so kind of sometimes like balancing that a little bit can be really hard in creating those boundaries. But I do remember one time leaving a national team game. Me and some teammates had to like our flight was like pretty close after the game, so we had to leave pretty quickly. And we were in the parking lot, like getting into a van, and we had to like rush to the airport. And there was like some fans. These national team fans sometimes are crazy, but there's these fans on the other side of the fence. And this dad was like yelling at us and was like, he wasn't talking to specifically me, another player who was a little bit more higher profile than I was, but like so and so, like can you come over here and sign my daughter's like poster, like blah blah blah. But like we really like we were in a hurry, like we had to go. And we're like, sorry, we have to go. And then he just like switched a flip and was like, you guys are terrible people. Like, I can't believe so many people look up to you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and then we got in the van and we were like, that's crazy. Because like that parent doesn't realize that he's being an example to his daughter on how to treat other people as well. And so it was just like, I feel like you should give people the benefit of the doubt no matter who they are. And it's like,
I
you don't
know.
understand. Like, we're literally in a hurry. Like, if we had time, we probably would. But anyway, it's just, it's a hard thing
We
to
just
balance.
hold athletes, especially athletes at like the highest level and standard. And the wonderful thing is they get paid a lot because we hold that idolize-ism, if that's even a word, in action. Like if we didn't do that and if we didn't value them and idolize them, then we wouldn't pay for jerseys, we wouldn't pay for tickets, we wouldn't pay for all of these things that would allow them to make a lot of money, essentially. And so there's the good, but the bad is all the things that you just said. Like, we forget they're human beings and they're gonna say things and do things that are really stupid because guess what? We all do things that are really stupid and say things that are really stupid. So, yeah, it's fine, especially as a parent, like finding that perspective. I think I was kind of the same way growing up. I loved tons of athletics and athletes, but there was never like one person that was like, okay, I would bow to him if I ever saw him, right? And I think about this now, like Peyton Manning's one of my favorite athletes of all time. If I saw him, I would just want to like ask, like, what's it like being a dad and being this famous? What's it like retiring? Like, it would just be fun just to have a conversation. I wouldn't feel the
You wouldn't
idolizism
start
that
crying.
no, I wouldn't. Even though I cried, Ashley, for Rory McIlroy, who just
Oh,
won the
yeah.
Masters.
I mean, that was pretty special.
Oh my gosh, that was so cool.
Yeah, that was
So cool. I was
awesome.
so happy for him. Obviously, I don't know him, but it was so awesome. Rory, if you're listening, please come on the Ditto podcast. That would be so fun.
Please. Jeff was pretty happy too. I tried to sneak a video of his like reaction when he made the last putt,
Did he cry?
but no, he was just like jumping up and down like, but
My wife looks at me. She goes, she like leans over and she goes, "Are you crying?" And I go, "Yes, I can't help it. Look at him. Look at him."
yeah, so she like all he had to go
Oh.
through. All right, well, should we get into
I
it?
know. So where do you want to like start officially and do the whole thing?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Ditto. Matt, welcome. How are you doing today?
Really good. Yeah, really. We're navigating life, Ash, and we're doing our very, very best. But things are good. They really are.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. Things are good. Busy. Been on the road a lot, but happy to be alive and well and playing soccer. We leave to Orlando on Friday, so in 2 days. I think I have my suitcase just
I was going to
consistently
say, you've been gone a
open.
lot.
Yeah, but things are really good.
Good. Yeah, I want to ask you about it here in just a minute, because I think it will tie into our topic beautifully. But before I do, I've been counseled to continue with dad jokes. So
Oh, yes.
would you like to hear a dad joke for today?
Yes, I would love a dad joke. Let's hear it.
Okay, I came prepared with two just in case you had
In
heard
case
one
one
of these before.
flops, just
Yeah,
kidding.
or in case one flops. That's very true because I think some have flopped in the past. Have I told you my Ireland joke
Don't think
before?
so.
Okay, so I gotta keep a straight face. Have you heard, Ash, that Ireland's capital city is like growing exponentially? In fact, it's Dublin. That's
Dublin.
good. That's not
Nice.
bad.
That
That's
is
not bad, right?
good. That is
Yeah.
good. I like
Okay.
that one.
I'll save my second one for
Okay.
the next recording because I got to keep
Okay.
these in my back pocket. So
Yeah, for
there's your
sure.
dad joke for
Where
the
did you
day.
get that one?
TikTok. Random
Oh.
TikTok video popped up. Some gal was saying the joke. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I need to use
Nice. Now
that."
you're gonna
So.
consistently get more TikTok
Yeah.
jokes because of your
I know.
algorithm.
I know. So good.
Nice. Well, speaking of jokes, it's always good to have fun. And you're the expert. From what I've heard, when you're having more fun, it equals most of the time having more success in whatever way that you define success. Is that true?
Yeah, in fact, I would go so far, Ashley, as to say you're going to have more objective success, not just subjective, like you interpreting your success, but I'm confident saying that even the literature pointing to more objective wins if you and collectively, especially if it's a team sport, are having more fun. So this is what I wanted to bring up. You've been gone a lot. You've been playing a lot of soccer. We're recording this mid-April. And you've been having objectively some wonderful success, aka scoring some goals and finding the back of the net.
Oh
So,
yeah.
have you been having fun lately, Ashley?
Yeah, I definitely have been having a lot of fun.
A lot
Scoring
of fun
goals and winning games is always fun.
is always fun. Good.
Yeah.
Well, I want to like this is what I want to do. Because a while ago, in my research, I came up with eight different like here's why protocols or pillars, I don't know what you want to call them, eight different components of what happens when we have fun. And so I want to go through these with you. And if you don't mind, Ash, from your perspective, a professional athlete, briefly sharing or like sharing an example, illustrating that this is in fact true, or at least indirectly, this is how I've experienced this. And yes, from my perspective, I can check that box and say that is true. Why having fun is not just a nice thing to have, but objectively a game changer. Does that make sense? Okay, so I want to start off with a quote that I love. This comes from the goat of all goats when it comes to especially gymnastics, not just women's gymnastics, Simone Biles. This is what she said. At the end of the day, if I can say I had fun, it was a good day. So even this really wonderful goat of all goats recognizes the importance of having fun, and there's so many reasons why this is important. So here's eight of them, folks, of why having fun, whether it's youth, collegiate, professional sport, and or competition, is more than just a nice to thing to have. It's, in my humble opinion, an absolute game changer. So number one reason, Ashley, you ready? Having fun is important because It helps with automatic processing and flow. So flow is what essentially literature calls getting into the zone. So in pop culture, I know that term is very recognized, like you being in the zone. So when athletes are enjoying the game essentially more, they're more likely to tap into flow or getting into the zone and allowing skills to flow naturally. Ashley, so here's my question. Mm-hmm. Can you attest to this, and how might you illustrate why this, in fact, could or is true?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I reflect on when I felt like I'm in that flow state, I'm having fun because I'm not overthinking. I'm not like worried. Yeah. I'm fully present and I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm enjoying competing. And I mean, I feel like I'm probably going to say a lot of things that start to like tie in all these other points that you have. But yeah, I'm not thinking and things just like happen naturally. I'm trusting my instincts. I think when you think of how like your psychological self affects your physical self, when you're overthinking or you're stressed or worried, then you start to tense. And then when you start to tense, your attention starts to go to like your body, or you're not moving the way you want to naturally be moving, and you're not trusting yourself and your decision making and your instincts. And so when you're having fun, it's the opposite. You're a lot more loose. Your movements are a lot more natural. And you're, especially in a game like soccer, you're able to like take in all the information and then make the best possible decision. When you're not in that flow state, you're taking in all that information in like a very like worried, over analytical state. And then you're not able to make the best decision. And then when you don't make the best decision, or when you make a mistake, then you're worried about that mistake. But when you're in the flow state, even if you do make a mistake, because you will, it's very normal to make mistakes even in when you're in a good state and having fun, you're able to let that state or that mistake go and get ready for the next one, or even welcome the next opportunity, because you're feeling so good and you're feeling confident in your skills.
Yeah, there's so much in there. So it's interesting to me. You use one word that I think illustrates another really interesting point: analytical. Mm-hmm. When we're not having fun, oftentimes, especially in the sports of golf, baseball / softball, and tennis, where like fine motor movements are a part of the game, right? Oftentimes athletes will experience what they call the yips. I know you've heard of this before. Mm-hmm. Scientific term, it's called focal dystonia. And so it's involuntary muscles contracting during very specific tasks like putting in golf or throwing a baseball or serving in tennis or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But like, here's the thing. It's a huge trigger to this is this analytical form of thinking that you just said. Mm-hmm. And I know we've talked about this before, Ashley, this paralysis by analysis is really harmful. Right? Mm-hmm. AKA overthinking. So you're losing automaticity. You're losing this automatic processing of what we're talking about here. That's going to contribute to something like the yips, where you can't perform a really routine behavior like throwing a baseball that you've been doing, if you're a professional baseball player, for 30 years, I don't know, 25 years. It should be very automatic and routine, right? But a huge component to this is that's exacerbating this problem is overthinking / paralysis by analysis / not having fun. And so to your point, you know, something that's going to facilitate, you know, you not being analytical and you not really hopefully avoiding something like the yips is having fun. Mm-hmm. And that in turn is going to, just like Ashley was saying, help you get into the zone, help you get into flow, and help these automatic skills just flow naturally, especially if you've been doing these skills for quite some time at, you know, collegiate professional level, I think is really, really important. Mm-hmm. Anyways, really interesting.
Yeah. It reminds me of actually, I last year read, I know we've talked about this book before, but The Inner Game of Tennis or something like
Ashley,
that.
Ashley, look what yeah. I look what I just got. I just got, I'm not, no joke, hold on.
Oh, have you finished it?
So yeah, I read this.
You probably
like
read it multiple times.
7 years ago, but yeah. They just came out with this new 50th anniversary edition, and I just got it.
Nice.
Anyways, keep going.
Yeah. Congratulations. right. Anyway, I loved that book so much because of the way it articulated some of these things, especially when you talk about flow state.
Totally.
But the part that I was thinking of that this book reminded me of is when he talks about focusing on, this is when you're an elite player and you're already kind of at the top of your game and you already know how to do the basics. So this would be different for someone who's just learning the basics, but say for someone like right. me, focusing on like the end objective instead of everything in between. And when you like trust your body and your instincts and you focus on the task at hand and what direction yep. you're trying to go. So for me, that would be scoring. Then my body will naturally already know what to do, right? Because I've done it so
beautiful
many
example.
Times.
Yep.
And so my body isn't in that flow state. But if I'm overthinking, then I'm like, okay, where's my plant foot? Where are my hips? Is my ankle locked? Is my leg back too far? Am I doing it too quick? Am I doing it too slow? Am I leaning over the ball? Am I leaning back? Like, there's so many granular details that could distract me from 100%. Actually making a shot happen like that. But if I'm in the flow state and I know I just need this ball to go in the back of that net, then I'll make it happen because I trust my body and I trust everything that's happening. But when I'm not in the flow state, I'm overthinking, like you said, like way too much. There is a time and a place to like pay attention and to learn those granular details, but that's most likely when we're younger, we're in 100%. Practice and we're in training. We have a coach that helps us learn those things. But I think like you said, like if you're having fun, you'll notice that you're able to do things a lot easier. And you're able to score these amazing goals and you're able to make these amazing, incredible passes or plays happen because you're having fun and you're in that flow state and you're trusting your body and trusting your instincts.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Here's something to throw caution to, especially for athletes that are kind of high school, collegiate level. They're really getting into the competitive realm of things, but they're not quite at your level, Ashley. It's not about getting into flow. It's about creating the behaviors that could facilitate you possibly getting into flow. Because when we make the objective, oh, I need to get into flow so I can be like Ashley Hatch and score a lot of goals. Like, no, that's not the point. The point, even backing it further, is to have fun cultivating all these wonderful behaviors that are going to automatically flow naturally. Then as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, you might get into flow, which is awesome. But you don't always, right? You don't always need to be in flow to have these type of experiences where you're flowing naturally and again, having fun. So just wanted to throw that out there because I think it's important.
Yeah.
okay. That's number one. Do you see how deep we can go with these?
Yeah.
There's eight of them. We might not even get to eight of them. Maybe we can do like four, Ashley, this episode and four the next episode. Whatever. I mean, depending on how much time we have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the second one on why having fun is an absolute game changer from youth to collegiate to professional. Burnout prevention. So having fun keeps individuals motivated intrinsically. So basically what that means is when you are intrinsically motivated, you're doing things just because you enjoy doing them. You enjoy the effort. You enjoy the competition. You enjoy yourself getting better. You're intrinsically motivated to get up at 5 a.m. because of that component of it. So intrinsic motivation is 100% the more beneficial type of motivation when it comes to long-term motivation/success compared to extrinsically being motivated, which is trophies, NIL, money, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Those things have their place, obviously, but long-term motivation intrinsically is going to be the best orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So what this does is it helps reduce mental, emotional, and even physical fatigue that can lead to burnout. So let me ask you, Ashley, you are an experienced soccer player.
Yes.
How has this component of having fun and, you know, preventing type of burnout orientations to occur? What are your thoughts on this one?
All I could think about as you were talking about this was, you got to do it for the love of the game.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I could think of. And I feel like I've had many coaches, especially like younger coaches, like growing up and kind of going up through the ranks, tell me that. Yeah. Like, you got to do it because you love the game. Like, you got to love the game. And I feel like when I was younger, I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, yeah, I love the game. But now I feel like, in all my years of experience, I definitely love the game and I understand what that means. Because if you don't truly love what you're doing, then, because it is a lot of work and there's a lot of sacrifice and there are just like a lot of hurdles and trials along the way. If you don't truly love the game, then yeah, you're definitely going to be burnt out and you're not going to want to keep showing up day in and day out. So yeah, I can attest to that one for sure.
How long have you been doing this soccer thing?
9 years professionally. And then I started playing when I was 8. So okay.
How old are you?
Oh gosh, I'm 29.
17, 20 years?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
20, 21 years. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, you've had to get up early when you don't want to get up early.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone to, you know, it would be really interesting to figure out how many practices you've gone to.
I've thought about that many times.
In 21 years. I don't even know. I mean, would you even venture to guess a number?
I mean, I'd have to do some math. I'd have to like write it.
Like 365 days, 21 years. Maybe you minus some of those 20 days out of the year. I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of practices.
Mm-hmm.
Some, if not most, because you live in D.C., of those practices are really hot and really humid.
Mm-hmm.
And some you've probably been in really cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
You have been... You've had what kind of minor injuries over the years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Nothing major, right? Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, with all this to say, folks, what I'm getting at is she's been through so much of quote unquote, not fun things, right? Like getting up early, minor injuries, hot and humid practices that are in the thousands, tens of thousands, maybe. But Ashley, I'm guessing you've been through those and are continuing to do those because you are intrinsically motivated, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
You like to get paid, of course. You like to win and get trophies, mm-hmm. of course. But the reason you're continuing to do this and you are as experienced as you are, especially at these ranks, mm-hmm. is because you like the grind. You mm-hmm. like to see yourself get better. You like the competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are all very intrinsically motivated components.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, really important. That's preventing Ashley from experiencing burnout because she could have the excuse and it would be very appropriate on many levels to be burnt out because of how long she's been doing this, but she's not because of mm-hmm. that intrinsic motivation and she's having fun. This is the engine behind that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. I think also, I know we talked about when we talked about motivation last season, we talked about it being, what was it? Having autonomy. Like, I want to do this for myself. Like, no one else is making me do this or pushing me to do this. Yep. I think recognizing that I have that autonomy has also really helped because it's like, this isn't going to happen unless like I go out and do it and I go out and get it. Of course, I'm going to have my support system around me, like helping me. And like on days when maybe my motivation is low, they can help motivate me, but you don't keep playing for 20 years because your mom or dad want you to keep playing.
Right.
You keep playing because you want to keep playing. So,
well, and then even in the early days, Ash, like when you weren't, you and the rest of your awesome teammates and colleagues, you weren't getting paid.
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Don't get me started on that.
I'm a professional athlete, but I'm getting paid like one of the worst salaries known to mankind. Like you have to be intrinsically motivated to keep it.
Yeah.
That.
The sacrifices that like a lot of the girls that have been a part of this league for a really long time, and the girls that came before us, the sacrifices that had to be made were crazy. But the reason why we're still here and the reason why we still have a league is because we just love the game and we love competing and we love getting better. And the league is definitely improved, and we're getting compensated more, and we're getting a lot more like benefits and support. Still a long way to go, in my opinion, but that definitely helps. But you can sometimes tell the players that have been in this league for a long time and the things that they've lived through, and then the younger players that come in, and it's like, welcome, you have no idea what we went through, but we're glad it's better for you.
I love
But
it.
yeah.
Ash, what's the weirdest, like smallest thing about soccer that you love? Does that question make sense? Like not just, oh, I love competing with my teammates and the satisfaction I get out of winning. Like no, like what's one of the weirdest things that you love about the game that a lot of people are would be like, really?
I mean, I could probably say a lot of things, honestly.
Give me one or two.
Well, honestly, I love just being outside every day. I love being able to go to work and be outside, especially like on when
Yeah, that's
the
true.
sun's out, the green grass. Like, I don't know, there's something about just being outside with a bunch of teammates and like practicing on a really nice day, even like a really hot day. Honestly, I don't mind. It's cold days that I hate, but just like being outside every day really makes me happy, and I feel like it just makes my overall quality of life just better, just like mentally, physically, emotionally, having that. And then I think just for me, I could be outside and I could spend hours just striking a ball into the back of the net, like over and over. It just like is really fun and makes me really happy. Juggling before practice with my teammates, like something like very, very simple, but just oh,
Yeah,
constantly like
there you go.
checking your skills and just like doing the same thing over and over. Stuff like that is really, really fun, and I could do it for the rest of my life, honestly.
Is it the striking the ball in the back of the net? Is it the like feel of your foot hitting the ball and then like watching what you can do with the ball? Or is it seeing like where the ball ends up and then you being able to place it where you want it? I'm fascinated by like those
Yeah, those
minute
details.
details.
Honestly, when you strike a ball well, it's kind of like the only thing I can relate it to like is like in baseball or in golf, when you just like hit it and that sound or that pop or that just like it's just like this feeling like once it leaves your foot, you're like, that's a good one, because like you can feel like the velocity or like whether you're trying to do like a textured shot that like curls into, you know, like the upper 90 or curls over the wall or has some movement to it, or you're just trying to hit a solid like line drive shot straight into the back of the net that'll like kill someone if they get in front of it. Like those are the things that like when you're able to execute exactly what you're wanting to do, that just feel really, really nice. Or even like a volley, like once it bounces or if you hit it out of the air. And right when you make contact, you're like, that's a good one. Like that's a feeling that I could just do over and over and over and oh, never get sick of it.
How fun.
Yeah.
Seriously though, like that sounds fun. And again, you're illustrating these points just, I think, beautifully. Okay, should we go on to number three? And maybe if it's okay with you, Ash, I'll get a nod. Maybe we do four this episode and four next episode.
Okay. Yeah,
No.
we can do
Yeah.
that.
There's
Or we
just
could
so
just breeze
much
through them.
in these that I think are
It's up
so
to you.
interesting. Let's just see how we do. So here's the third one. Emotional regulation is the third. Here's why having fun is a game changer. Emotional regulation. So essentially, during high pressure moments, high pressure experiences, especially in sport, joy or having fun fosters like steadiness. It fosters regulation and it fosters resiliency, which is interesting. So let me ask you, how has this played a role? This steadiness, this resiliency component, especially as it relates to joy slash having fun.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's when you're having fun and you're focusing on like that, it's not, it's like you said, it's consistent. That's something that you can be focused on. That's not affected by like whatever the score line is or whatever, whatever call the ref makes or whatever the weather is. Like if you're focused on something that can be consistent or focusing on like yourself and making sure that you're enjoying what you're doing despite the circumstances, then I feel like you're going to have better emotional regulation because you're not going to be totally so hot and cold or thrown off by something that maybe you disagree with or that you don't like. So I think that's one way that it like fosters this steadiness, is just like, okay, I'm enjoying what I'm doing, whether it's hard, whether it's easy or something in between. So I'm going to be able to be steady through it all.
Yeah. You know, I think of us lay people, just an example that comes to my mind that I think illustrates this. I remember driving in the car with my son and he said something really funny. I'm trying to remember. He's a 4-year-old. And so he'll make remarks that are so funny. Anyways, he said something, we were laughing, we were having fun. And then a guy cut us off. We were driving. And you know, in those type of situations, you want to flip the bird. You want to swear at them. You want to make sure that you know that you're, that they know that you're angry, right?
Yeah.
But my reaction in that moment was, oh, come on, dude. And then he drove past. And I remember saying, God bless. Just to like, just to kind of send him on his way. Like, let's learn to drive a little bit better, maybe just for safety purposes. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, wow, that was pretty steady, Matt. Yeah. That was pretty regulated, even though I'm not like an angry person, but I contribute it now in hindsight to me being around my boy at the time and having fun and laughing. Right. Mm. Like could be a high pressure moment of at least anger was not, because of this joy and having fun moment that was kind of overcompensating for it. Anyways, just a small example.
I think that's a perfect example, honestly.
Yeah. Okay. Here's number four. Okay. Why having fun is a game changer. Number four, sharper focus. So fun, in this case, minimizes distractions and especially rumination from this psychological lens, which will then ensure focus is where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Before I go on, let me ask you, how has this role been displayed, or how could you talk about this illustration or this component, Ashley, with having fun as the engine?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you're having fun, you just feel more comfortable in your own skin and you're able to be more present and like accomplish the task at hand. So whether that's playing soccer, if I'm more present and I'm able to accomplish the task at hand, I'm also going to have more fun and have more success. And I feel like more success or doing something well just adds to having more fun. And you're not like distracted by like outside, whether it's a coach's decision or a defender or a ref or all these other things, you're able to stay focused. I think it's similar to emotional regulation, but you're just able to be kind of like just zoned in the zone, ready to go for whatever what is asked of you.
Yeah. The focus component of being in flow or in the zone is a huge component to that. You want to hear my illustrious athletic example to this one?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I was playing high school football and I was like super mediocre. And I had a girlfriend through most of high school. And I remember distinctly, as you were saying your example, Ashley, like having a tiff with my girlfriend in high school. And it was right before a football game. And I remember seeing her in the stands before this football game. So distracted because of this dang distraction of my relationship at the time with my girlfriend. And so my focus was not on the game. It's not where it needed to be. So here's the lesson I want to share. with all you parents, don't let your kids have boyfriends and girlfriends. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say
problem
that.
Solved.
Problem solved. Don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend in high school. Anyways, it's just a silly example of how this, right, can play a role. I wasn't having fun. I was super distracted. My focus was elsewhere. So, okay. Number five. This one's one of my favorites. You know me. So here's why having fun is a game changer. Number five is acceptance and control. So when we're enjoying something, when we're having fun, especially in sports, it encourages embracing and acknowledging what we can control, which is so powerful. So then it frees up this mental energy around things that we can and cannot control. And going back to number four, places focus on things that we can control. So let me ask you, Ashley, how has this played a role in your experience of being an athlete?
Well, I think acceptance, we've talked about it so much. It's honestly, I feel like acceptance and awareness is like a superpower once you're able to like
100%,
understand them. But I think of two examples when we kind of talk about this, like when you have an athlete who's having fun and then a coach asks them to do something that's out of their comfort zone or something that's not familiar to them. And they approach you with like, oh, okay, yeah, let's try it out. Let's have fun. And then like you have someone who's not having fun and not enjoying what they're doing and they get asked to do something different and they're like, what? Are you serious? Me? Why? And it's like the first athlete who's having fun is more likely to succeed in whatever is asked of them than the second athlete who's like, I'm not having fun. Why am I here? Why am I doing this? Like, no, I'm not doing that. And so I feel like, when you're having fun, you're going to be able to accept more. And then therefore you're going to be able to control your own actions and your attitude towards whatever it is.
This happened to you where you were asked to play a different position than what you had been playing the previous 19 years ish. What am I talking about? If you don't mind sharing.
Last year at the beginning of the year, but I feel like now, like this year too, like, so like different games I've been asked to like play a different way or second half, like this last game, second half, I went from playing center striker to playing the 10. But I feel like I was able to accept that and do that in a better, more positive outlook because of what I went through last year of, you know, like playing the 9, like my whole life, or at least my whole professional career. And then being asked to play on the wing or play in the midfield. And I feel like at first it was kind of hard to like adjust to it. Like it mentally, it was a little bit of a challenge, but I think because I enjoy playing soccer so much, I enjoyed the challenge and I accepted the challenge. I love it. And I had this mindset of like, I could do this. Like I convinced myself like, okay, the coach is putting me here because he trusts me. He wants me, he thinks I can do this. So I think I can do this. And that's kind of like how I worked through it. And because I enjoy soccer so much and because I love playing the game, like I was up for it. And I feel like because I had that attitude and that mindset, I got better and I was able to contribute to the team. And now I feel like I have more confidence to play anywhere on the field, no matter where I'm asked to play. And so that was kind of the situation last year, but it's bled into this year too, but in a positive way, because now I feel like my coaches trust me, my teammates trust me. And most importantly, like I trust myself to play wherever the team needs me to play. And so I feel like that's a good example of acceptance. And because of that acceptance, I have more control.
Yeah, there you go. You said it wonderfully. I love it. I am convinced it is why the best soccer player of all time, Jamie Tart from Ted Lasso.
You didn't say Messi, so I was like, what?
I'm convinced it's why his return to Richmond was so successful. Uh-oh, my internet's unstable.
Well, I hope we got that, folks. Because we were on a roll. Okay.
Anyways, Ashley, what I was saying, the example of Jamie Tartt. Oh, Jeff's still in there. The example of Jamie Tartt, I'm convinced he had a successful second half of his career because he was having so much fun with his teammates. He was so used to being the guy, the goal scorer, but now he was like second or third in line. Again, to illustrate your point. So mm-hmm. Jamie Tartt, I have to throw in a Ted Lasso reference almost every episode. So there you go. It's thrown in there.
There you go. Yeah. Check it off.
Okay. Okay, so now we're on number six. Why having fun is a game changer. Number six, team cohesion. This is an interesting one. So teams that play with joy or having fun more often than not experience stronger bonds and a collective confidence. Ashley, thoughts?
I mean, yeah, I agree with this 100%. When you have, you often hear the term like if everyone's bought in. And when everyone's bought in, usually that means everyone's going to enjoy what they're doing because everyone is doing it for the purpose of like the collective or not for themselves, but for the team. And when you have, when everyone's having fun, you naturally are going to have more team cohesion. Everyone's going to be nicer to each other. Everyone's going to support each other. Everyone's going to have each other's back. Everyone's going to work hard for each other. And you can see it like, I mean, I would say my team is a really, really good example. If you watch like when we score a goal or when we do something really well or we win a game, like the smiles on everyone's faces are very genuine because everyone's really, really happy for each other. But most importantly, we're all really happy to be a part of this collective, a part of this team. And we're all having fun and we're all very respectful of each other. We want the best for each other. And I've been on teams where that's not the case and no one's having fun because we're not enjoying each other's company. So, yeah, I think this one's a really important one.
Yeah. And there's where your kind of objectiveness comes into play. When you collectively are having fun, you're way more likely to win. You're way more likely to have that actually subjective success or objective success.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. That was number six. Number seven. Similar to number two with burnout prevention, but this is more physical. So why having fun is a game changer. Number seven, injury prevention and recovery. So this is where a lot of wonderful sports psychology literature really points to like having helpful or positive emotions and even helpful, positive, efficacious thought processes can in fact, folks, lower injury risk and speed up recovery. A really interesting one. Ashley, do you have any examples with this one or maybe indirectly someone that you know? I don't know. That this one's kind of a different one. So what do you think about this one?
I mean, I think when we talk about like having fun and similar to like just like being in a state of like calmness and relax and like trusting your body, I feel like
you're loose.
You're able to like make better decisions like physically on the field. And I feel like that helps prevent injuries. I feel like you will often see people get injured when they're second guessing themselves or their abilities. And then when it comes to recovery, like I definitely believe like in the power of the mind for recovery and like just having when you're able to like being out because you're injured is like one of the worst things ever. It's terrible because something that you absolutely love has been taken away from you and you're physically not able to do that one thing. But when you're able to like switch your mindset to like enjoying the recovery and seeing the good in the recovery and like mentally like giving yourself a break and realizing, okay, I'm out. Like, what can I focus on? How can I continue to like have fun in this process of getting better step by step, day by day? Then I feel like once you do get to the end of that recovery, you're gonna be a lot better off like mentally but also physically. You're gonna trust your body because you're fully present in the whole recovery process and you've seen your body take like step by step like improvement, like those improvements. And so that's kind of like what my experience has been, but I'm sure you have other stories.
it's wonderful. It, you know, just from a physiological standpoint, when we're stressed, when we're anxious, not having fun, essentially, we're creating, in many instances, like rigidity of the body. And so tendons are tight, muscles are tight, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, even blood vessels could be tight, which is very likely with stress. And that definitely is not facilitative for not getting injured. You're likely to get injured, right? Mm-hmm. If you're experiencing some of those things. And then when you're recovering from injury, you're less likely to recover at a more speedy or more rapid pace when you're not that way. And so, mm-hmm. again, having fun is reducing rigidity. It's reducing stress, reducing anxiety, which physiologically and psychologically, but physically, it's facilitating that process. And so, again, less likely to get injured and more likely to speed up recovery if you are injured. Mm-hmm. Another really wonderful benefit to especially athletes. Mm-hmm. Okay, we made it to number 8. Can you believe this? Here's number 8. Why having fun is an absolute game changer. And you alluded to this like 5 minutes ago, Ashley. Self-confidence, a huge one. Mm-hmm. So athletes that are having fun will exude more confidence and as a result have a reduction of self-doubt, right? Mm-hmm. You were sharing when I asked you that you were tasked with playing a different role for your team. Mm-hmm. Midfield, wing, whatever it might be, positions you weren't used to. But you started having fun. And then as a result, you also said, my confidence grew because mm-hmm. I was playing midfield and I was playing wing and I was having success in however way that might be. And as a result of that, all of that, my self-confidence increased. Mm-hmm. So talk maybe a little bit more about how this last one, this wonderful one, mm-hmm. has played a role.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite pieces of advice to give girls that are going to like a tryout or an ID camp, I get this question all the time, what advice do you have for me? And I tell them to smile. I'm like, when you're like physically, like when you're smiling, you can tell that you're having fun. Coaches can tell that you're having fun, and that exudes confidence. And so for me, like smiling is really, really important. Like when I'm on the field, even when someone's like trying to get in my face or like trash talk me, I just smile and I just laugh because like I'm having fun. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And like them getting all riled up and upset really isn't going to faze me because like nothing's going to faze me because I'm really confident in myself and my ability and I'm having a lot of fun. So like for me, when you're having fun, you have that belief in yourself and in your ability, and therefore you will have more, you'll play with more self-confidence and belief in those abilities. So, totally. And then you don't doubt yourself. You don't second guess yourself. Even if you do make a mistake, you're like, it's okay. I'll get the next one. Like, cause I trust myself. I believe myself. I have confidence in myself. That's kind of some thoughts that came to mind.
So having fun and self-doubt cannot coexist essentially. Mm-hmm. When we're having fun, it's really hard to have self-doubt.
Yeah.
But it's really easy to have self-confidence if we're having fun. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, the game changer.
Yeah.
This another illustration of this, Ashley. Do you know Shohei Ohtani, baseball player for the Dodgers? Mm-hmm. He's arguably the best in the game right now. He's in the field. He's amazing. He hits home runs every time he's up to bat, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Something he does, I don't know if this is every at bat, but for most at bats that I've seen, he like does a, because he's Japanese, I think, mm-hmm. he like does a slight bow to the competition's head coach or head manager. Nice. And sometimes he'll like tip the cap and like wave to him, like do a bow, like out of respect.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's just having fun. He's a gentleman.
Yeah.
And then he gets up there and he destroys the pitcher and hits a home run. And so it's so interesting to see like his humility, his enjoyment come into play. And then as a result, with many other factors, I get it. But of those two components, having fun and being respectful, he gets up and does very, very well. In fact, again, he's one of the best to play right now. So I think another example on how this can come into play, literally. So
I love that. That's cool.
Okay, folks. Those are your eight game changers on why having, eight components of why having fun is a game changer. It's not just a nice thing to have. Please, youth, collegiate, professional, find ways to enjoy what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
That's what we got. That's what nice. I got.
All right. Yeah. I think I have one question that we can end on, because I feel like the topic of having fun, like, we obviously we went through these 8 consequences or results or benefits of having fun. But what would you say to someone who is in the position where they're not having fun? Or maybe a parent who has a child who you can tell they're not having fun. Like, how can you facilitate fun? Because I feel like fun is different. The definition of fun, it can be different for everyone. Because, like, I can go out and have a training, and I could have a terrible training session and be so upset, and I should come in and, like, that wasn't fun. Or I could have a teammate who had the exact same training session, and they worked their butt off, and they accomplished maybe a personal goal of theirs or whatever, and, like, that was so fun. Or they won and I didn't, or whatever, and I'm like, that wasn't fun. You can have people experience the same things, and one could have fun and one couldn't.
Totally. Or
could not. So, like, how would you help? What would you say to that, like, people who are having a hard time facilitating that fun or enjoyment?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. So I think it's important to also utilize, I'm kind of a word person, to utilize the word enjoyment in addition to having fun. Fun, in my mind, is like immediate pleasure, like kind of surface level positive emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyment is more of this intrinsic orientation that we talked about. It's more like sustained positive emotion for personal growth, challenge, fulfillment, etc. Mm-hmm. And it really gets to the effort, even if things are uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first thing would be how you phrase it as a parent. Because are you enjoying your experience playing softball, playing soccer, playing baseball? Is different than are you having fun?
Yeah.
And so that would be my first question. Sally, are you enjoying playing? And then you go from there. And this is where you kind of have to put your psychology or counselor cap on and find out why or why not they're not enjoying their experience. And maybe you can get to the point of, ooh, this is why they're not enjoying it. Let's increase the relationships. Let's try to connect more with our teammates. Maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't feel competent. They can't really throw a pitch. They can't really kick a successful penalty kick. Okay, well, let's work on those things. So physical ability can facilitate this enjoyment process, right? So figuring those things out can often be really beneficial, but you have to have those conversations and then get down to some of the whys behind why they're not perhaps enjoying their experience. However, sometimes they just don't enjoy it for whatever reason. Maybe there's 5 reasons why they don't enjoy it. So then it's time to revisit. Okay, well, maybe we need to get out of this and try something else.
Yeah.
Especially in youth and high school levels. It's important. It's not only important. It's vital that they enjoy doing these sports for whatever reason. But there has to be some reasons. If there are 0 reasons and you've done your best to talk to them, you've done your best to help them find some reasons, but they still are saying, I don't enjoy it, maybe it's time you step back and say, well, let's get you out and let's try something different.
Yeah.
Where you can actually find enjoyment. So that's where I would go.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. I think that's good advice for sure. Cool.
Anyways. Okay.
Awesome. Well, thanks.
That was enjoyable.
It was very enjoyable.
I had a lot of fun. Oh, ditto.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate it. So if you like this episode, please like, share, subscribe, send to a friend, listen to it again, whatever you like. But we are looking forward to the next episode. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.